This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Take the whole summer off without paying.
Rick Case is the place.
Hi, I'm Jesuan Martinez, general manager. Now at Rick Case, buy any new Hyundai like a new 25 Santa Fe, all with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles, and owner assurance. And pay nothing at all till fall. That's no money down and no payments until September with approved credit. Plus, get in and out of the dealership in an hour or less, guaranteed.
Rick Case is the place.
Pay nothing at all till fall at Rick Case Hyundai on Weston Road or at rickcasehyundaidaily.com.
Almost ready. First round of fireballs on me.
You called?
Who are you?
I'm the Fireball Dragon, and I'm here to grant you 3 wishes.
Really?
Hell no! I'm here to torch your tonsils and make tonight a night to remember.
What is even going on right now?
You're in a radio commercial.
Wait, I'm in a commercial?
Ignite the night with Fireball.
What is going on here?
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey with natural cinnamon flavor, 33% alcohol by volume, produced by Cesar Co., Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, it's Jordan here. We started our Thai River adventure in a previous episode looking at Bangkok, a booming city facing floods as it receives too much water. Now, we're heading hundreds of kilometers upstream to the mountains to see where that water comes from and how the country has used it to transform itself. We're going from neon signs to jungle vines.
He say, this is our old village.
This is the old village, okay?
I was here when I was 8 years old. And this is flood.
And it's flooded.
So they moved from here up there.
I'm hugged by a sea of green as I walk down a tree-covered hill with the villagers from Maynood, a community on the Thai-Myanmar border. They lead me down the hill along a sandy path. We stop and they show me where they used to live.
Our house was underwater and it was destroyed. When it happened, we were very young, and our parents and grandparents, they were very sad. They were very heartbreaking because their land was underwater.
I'm Jordan Dunbar, and that's Mary, our trusty local journalist, helping us translate.
But when the water from Kumikon Dam is increasing, it's all flooding above your chest now.
So where we are now, floods from the water down the reservoir?
Yes.
Wow, up to my waist.
The houses of the original village have gone. The Maynood have had to move further up the hill to escape the flooding that comes every rainy season. But the best land is at the bottom.
And you will see, this used to be a rice farm canal.
So in front of us, there's a large field. It's very sandy, but this actually used to be the paddy fields, the rice farm that the villagers had. And it was about 5 or 10 meters under what we're looking at now. And the reason is that when it's flooded, it's brought sand down and it's raised up the ground level. So you can't farm here anymore.
We're in Thailand in Southeast Asia to see a place that dams have transformed, meeting those that have helped and those that have hurt, and finding out how a warming world could put the country's economic miracle in jeopardy. This week on The Climate Question from the BBC World Service, we're asking, are dams still worth it?
We are on some very windy roads going through forest, and we're heading to the largest dam in Thailand. Oh, that is a bend. Oh, yes. And it's not as industrial as I imagined. There's forest everywhere. There's a beach. There's a golf club. It's a bit like a national park, and it's not until you see these huge electricity transformers and pylons that you remember that you're going to what is essentially a giant power plant.
Just coming off night shift is one of the dam's chief engineers.
My name is Chanakan Chaturachad.
Chanakan's my guide to hydroelectric dams.
I don't like heights, but I am for this program going to look over the side because I think it's important that I describe to you quite how high up we are. That is extremely high.
Around 154 meters.
Oh,
It's like the size of a skyscraper.
That's a...
A terrifying distance beneath me, glistening in the sun, is the Ping River, flowing away from the Bumiphon Dam. Thailand is a country blessed and cursed with water, too much or too little. We've seen the problems in the capital, Bangkok, a megacity that's at risk of going underwater, and you can find that episode wherever you get your podcasts. But now we want to follow that water upstream to see how it's helped power this country's economic transformation.
We can see the white line there.
So is that the white line underneath the Bumiphon Dam sign, that is what the maximum height of the water?
Yes, that's 260 meters above sea level.
Imagine a road or an entire street with enough room for two-way traffic and pedestrians. That's how wide this dam is. As we're looked down upon by big white letters spelling Bumiphon Dam like the famous Hollywood sign, Chanakan gives me the numbers.
We release about for the dry season. Now we release around 23.5 million cubic meters per day.
A day?
A day.
And that's flowing into the Ping River just beside me here?
Yes.
So we have 13,000 million cubic meters of water on one side of this big concrete barrier. It will drop down, run through pipes which have a rotor like a turbine.
Yes.
They spin.
They spin.
And that creates electricity which goes into the grid, into those wires beside me.
Yes. We can rapid generate the power.
Okay.
Just in 2 or 3 minutes, we can build up the power.
So very quickly. Wow. And how much electricity does this dam create?
The maximum is 779.2 megawatts.
779.2 megawatts. How much carbon are you saving?
Approximately 1 million tons of carbon dioxide emission per year.
And that's because it's just water flowing through a turbine. It doesn't burn anything like oil or gas. That's why it's considered to be clean, because it doesn't release any emissions.
Of course.
This is not just any dam. It was the first of its kind and the biggest in the country. Finished in the 1960s and named after the pioneering King Bumiphon, it's famous for being a tourist attraction with hotels, parks, hiking trails and floating restaurants. Oh, and karaoke.
Is that karaoke?
Yes, yes.
Karaoke on the dam. And why not? They're creating voltage in party style. We're creating voltage through hydropower. Beautiful. So if you imagine the dam is a semicircle, we are in the middle of it, and we're walking into building, because we're going down to see where the electricity is actually generated. We're stepping in at a big metal lift. It looks a lot more industrial now, and there's no karaoke anymore.
Renewable energy makes up 20% of the grid in Thailand, and hydro can be half of that, according to Chanakan. Some comes from dams over the border in Laos, and some from the 30 hydropower dams like this one inside Thailand. At one point, 70% of all Thailand's electricity came from the turbines I'm about to see.
Whoa. I think we just started generating electricity. Have you put it on specially for us?
Yeah.
What an honor! Someone's just turned on a power plant for us. So we've just slid across a door. And down some steps, we can actually see the rotor spinning. So that water that was behind us when we were standing on the semicircular dam is now flowing down 150 meters, hitting our spinning turbine.
The most romantic gesture I've ever had, someone turning on a hydropower dam for me. A wave of heat and sound hits me as the turbines in front spin and the kinetic energy rotates the generators above my head, creating the electricity.
That was Unit 2 Vertical Francis Turbine starting and stopping.
As well as making hydropower, the dam also controls the flow of water from mountainous northern Thailand into its fertile central valley. Controlling the rivers reduces flooding and stores water needed for crops in the dry season.
The Ruiphan Dam is crucial for Thailand's agriculture sector. In 1 year, the farmer can grow the rice, 3 or 4 crops.
How many time could they grow crops before the dam?
Oh, before we have just one.
So you could have one crop a year, and now it could be up to 4.
Rainy season. Yes.
Cine Sound overseas, and Bangkok is an Asian setting rarely matched in colour by its rivals for the tourist trade.
King Bhumibol, the dam's namesake, said,
"This first multi-purpose project in our country is the beginning of developing the new economy to expand far and wide."
And expand far and wide it did, including quadrupling agricultural yields in places and transforming the countryside. Thailand's economic development reads like the school report of a star pupil. Thailand is one of the great development success stories, says the World Bank. Incredibly, the poverty rate went from 42% of the population in the year 2000 to just 6.3% by 2019. That's in a country of 70 million people. Now it's got billionaires, big business, and beautiful tourist-filled beaches. But this hydro-powered economic miracle hasn't come without a cost.
It's extremely hot, so let us go into the shade and hopefully get back in the time. I think it's like 33 degrees.
Hello.
Swadika.
Swadika, how are you?
Jordan, nice to meet you.
We meet Pai Dieters at a cafe under the shade of a banyan tree and try to cool down with some iced tea. She works for International Rivers, an environmental group who work to protect rivers and the people living on them, including the Mae Nude.
What's problematic is that hydropower has been mislabeled as clean or green energy.
But hydropower doesn't create any emissions when it creates electricity. So isn't it a good thing? Isn't it green energy?
It's not green and it's not sustainable. It could be right if you just look at the carbon emission. But if you look at the value of the river system, it's totally different because there are millions of people that utilize the ecosystem services for water supply, for navigation, for source of protein, for source of income, etc.
From a climate change point of view, one of the biggest problems with dams is how you build them. This climate solution is built from a climate problem, concrete. Or more accurately, the cement used to make concrete. If cement were a country, it would be the fourth biggest emitter of greenhouse gases. By some estimates, 8% of all planet warming gases are released while making it. For Pai, there's also environmental damage to be considered.
Large hydropower on major rivers around the world has, of course, contributed a lot to development, but at the same time, it creates lots of invisible costs that bears by local communities, by the fish, by the migratory birds, by the nature as well. There are still people who were forced to leave their homeland, forced to leave their valley. We found that significant number of people still have less access or no access to electricity or irrigation. So this means that there are still people paying that cost. Grabbing natural resources from someone is not acceptable anymore these days.
But here, a number of communities had to move because of Bhumibol Dam, and we've been to see one of them. Tell me what happened to the Mae Nude community.
This village is at the edge of the Bhumibol Dam Reservoir in Hoat district of Chiang Mai province. These are current ethnic and they are indigenous people of this area along Thai Myanmar border. And the village was relocated because of the dam. So they lost all their properties, meaning lands, house, and particularly the fertile rice paddy along the Ping River. So they moved to the second village.
That second village we met them in is above the old village and where we saw the ruined rice fields. The Mae Nude do have electricity, but don't get water from the dam, instead relying on groundwater.
they use this power to pump the water, underground water. And they have a pipeline underground that they set up by themselves. This is how their water supply is.
So the electricity wires beside us are plugged into the main grid. Bumiphong Dam creates electricity that goes into the grid. So, you know, potentially some of that electricity is coming here. But the one thing they're not getting is water from the reservoir and from the dam.
Wow! Sukhachai has just jumped up on stilts and he's been puppet away, giving us a wee demonstration of how they get groundwater up. And he's fairly had to puppet that. The engine's jumped into life and we've just been squirted by water. So despite being beside that huge reservoir, this is how they have to get water.
While I dry off, a reminder, you're listening to The Climate Question from the BBC World Service.
This is your before and after story. Prepare for an incredible career in nursing. At Southeastern College, experience expert hands-on training. Learn real-world skills in our professional lab and simulated settings. And train for opportunities as a practical nurse, registered nurse, or career advancement with our RN to BSN program. At Southeastern College, your future is bright. Visit sec.edu to get started.
Take the whole summer off without paying.
Rick Case is the place.
Hi, I'm Jaswan Martinez, General Manager. Now at Rick Case, buy any new Hyundai like a new 25 Santa Fe, all with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles, and owner assurance. And pay nothing at all till fall. That's no money down and no payments until September with approved credit. Plus, get in and out of the dealership in an hour or less, guaranteed.
Rick Case is the place.
Pay nothing at all till fall at Rick Case Hyundai on Weston Road or at rickcasehyundaidavy.com.
I'm Jordan Dunbar. We're looking at the world's biggest source of renewable energy, hydroelectric dams. In Thailand, they've benefited massively in the past from dam building. It's fueled an economic transformation, both with electricity and irrigation. But climate change means the future isn't clear.
Just walked through the forest beside one of the streams that feeds the river. It flows into Bumiphong Dam, but it's completely dry. The whole area is completely dry, which makes me think, what happens to the dam if there isn't enough water? Because climate change is making drought more severe and more frequent in many parts of the world, including this region of Thailand. So what happens to all your hydroelectricity and your irrigation and your food crops if you run out of water?
Attention.
The Royal Irrigation Department in the city of Bangkok has to work out how to keep enough water in the dam as well as the country. It's located in a grand complex of high-rise offices next to the Kaya Praya River. I'm in an interview like never before. It's a hybrid interconference multi-city bonanza. There's about 12 of us in a horseshoe-shaped meeting room, and then a gentleman, an expert in hydrology, is looking down on us from a huge screen. The experts actually sat next to me explain how the changing climate is affecting them.
I'm Pachapon Mekpuksawong. I'm the senior expert on civil engineering.
My name is Chanin Songchon. I've been working for Royal Irrigation as the civil engineer.
Climate change affects the ability to manage water because the amount of rain is more variable and difficult to predict.
And higher temperatures like today mean you need more water, whether it be for a thirsty journalist or for rice or everything. But the higher temperatures also mean it's less easy to predict when that water and rain will come.
And so it affecting water security in Thailand.
On the big screen in front of me is a graph showing the economic cost of droughts over the years. which can mean lost jobs, higher electricity prices, and less food production from a lack of water.
I think it's a big problem because in Thailand, most of the people is farmer. So when there is some drought, it affects to their income. The forecast water shortage in Japaya River Basin will be about 2,000 million cubic meters per year.
That's 2 billion cubic meters less water than you need.
Yeah, right.
Is the prediction in the next 20 years. So there's several things happening. There's higher temperatures, which means people need more water, animals need more water, agriculture needs more water, cities need more water. But at the same time, there's more droughts, so there's actually less water. Mm-hmm. So climate change is making your jobs more difficult.
Yes.
But the Royal Irrigation Department has a hugely ambitious plan to bring water to the Pumipon Dam from another river.
The project is aimed to solve the water shortage problem by diverting water to be stored in the Pumipon Reservoir, which is still capable of storing a lot more of water.
How much more water will you get?
The average volume is about 1,800 million cubic meters per year.
Okay, so 1.8 billion of the 2 billion you need.
Yeah. It will increase the stability and security of water use in various areas, and it can produce the electricity at the Pumipon Dam power plant, increasing about 417 million units per year.
So they plan to pump water from the Yuam River, which is about 60 kilometres away, to the reservoir leading to Pumipon Dam. To do this, the engineers need to build a 60 kilometre long tunnel under a mountain range. You heard me right, under a mountain range. The tunnel will take water during the wet season when the Yuam River floods and use that to make sure the farms and the cities downstream, like Bangkok, have enough water as it gets warmer. But this long tunnel will come out near the Maynood village.
So like the diversion of the water is one of the solutions that we think can help the problem of climate change.
And what about at Hay Maynood, the river that it's running into? The villagers there were worried that it would raise the water level too much. So at the other end, it would flood. What happens there?
We have the plan to enlarge the Hue Mengut River to be able to take the amount of water that transfer from Yuam River.
So the engineers say they don't expect flooding to get worse when the tunnel is built. They also maintain that the Maynood community shouldn't be farming in that area at all.
Pumipon Dam is a large reservoir capacity, but water is not at the highest level just yet. But we already have reserved that area for the store water in the reservoir.
So the farmers we were speaking to shouldn't be growing things there because actually it was always planned that that would be water?
Yes, that's right. We allow that sometimes they can use like seasonal crop when the dry season and then they
so
have
it's temporary?
Land. Yeah, it's only temporary.
The massive water diversion project is still a proposal for the moment. The Maynood community are part of a lawsuit questioning the environmental impact of the project and calling for changes or a halt. Pai from the NGO International Rivers is also part of that lawsuit. I asked her how she thinks Thailand can get more electricity without damaging the climate.
So I think solar power has a very high potential for Thailand as alternative energy, but it's not affordable by most of the families in the country. But if the government really want people to have access to clean energy, to renewable energy, they should subsidize this kind of a renewable system so that we wouldn't have to invest more or destroy more on the large-scale power plants and hydropower.
The Thai authorities say they are investing in solar. In fact, they're planning a huge floating solar plant on Pumipon Dam and the other reservoirs across the country. While this will go straight into the grid and help increase clean energy, it won't belong to individual households like Pai mentions.
We have to clarify all the stakeholders and recognizing the rights of everyone, including rights of nature. In the future, I think extreme climate events and the natural resource will be more and more crucial.
And for the Thai government and others around the world, there will be big decisions to be made about how to keep the existing dams full and those turbines turning so their economies continue to grow. But what was once part of the fight against climate change, hydropower, may now not be as effective because of climate change.
For the pipeline, we are very concerned because we don't know where to move. We don't know where to relocate anymore.
Our local journalist Mayu translates for us as villager Sukhachai points to the jungle that the tunnel will come out from and then sweeps his arm to rows of longer and fruit trees surrounding us.
If the project is success, our village here and our Longkong plantation will be underwater, will be flooded. And then what are we going to do next? Because we lost our land again and again. Then now we are going to lose our land again.
So the project that's going to take water from this other river, take it underneath the mountain, a giant pipeline, it's going to come out here, so the water will flow out here, and they're afraid that that water will flood both their homes and their farms, the Longram plantations.
That's correct, yes. We are at the edge of the tunnel, and we are just normal people, and we don't have money, we don't have power, we don't know how to fight, but we will keep fighting.
The Royal Irrigation Department has carried out an impact report and says that only a small number of villagers have land that will be affected by the new tunnel. But the Maynood don't believe their assurances. To complicate matters, like many indigenous communities in the area, the Maynood don't own the land they live and farm on. But it's not just property to them, it's also a way of life. On one side, the proposed diversion project could provide water and energy security to millions of people in a changing climate. On the other, the Maynood believe that they'll be forced to move again by a dam they don't agree with and don't feel they benefit from. A move made tougher because of the link they have with the forests which they consider holy. As the sun sets over the reservoir, the villagers begin to sing a traditional song about their belief that the spirits of the forest and the villagers protect each other. This country is divided, not just by the rivers running through it, but by a question of whether the hydro energy and irrigation projects that were so successful in the past will be fit for an unpredictable future. It's been quite a trip from the Gulf of Thailand to see the megacity of Bangkok flooding and dealing with too much water to the far north here, where the shortage of water is threatening the prosperity of the country. Thanks to the team that made our trip possible. Producer Ellie House, our Thai journalist Mayu Willowan Wacharasakwey, production coordinator Brenda Brown, editor Simon Watts, and the sound designer Tom Brignall. To hear our Bangkok episode, just search for The Climate Question wherever you get your podcasts.
Dreaming of a high-paying career in healthcare? At Broward College, you can explore numerous high-paying career opportunities with flexible learning options and a variety of programs like nursing, EMT, respiratory care, and more. Broward College is proud to be ranked number one for the least student debt, offering top-quality education without the financial stress. Start your journey towards a fulfilling healthcare career today. Register for in-person and online classes today at broward.edu/health. Your future is within reach at broward.edu/health.
Climate disasters aren't a distant threat. They're happening now, affecting people everywhere. And just as disasters grow in frequency and intensity, wealthy nations are cutting back aid. Most disasters are predictable. So what if, instead of scrambling to rebuild, we protected communities before disaster strikes? With the human and economic costs of disaster mounting, with less aid to go around, focusing on what works has never been more urgent. Listen to Counter Crisis from the Center for Disaster Protection, available wherever you get your podcasts.